Great to have everybody here tonight in our hour of power. Pastor Miss Hagen taking care of some business they had to take care of, and praise the Lord. So they asked me to fill in. I don't know if I can fill in, maybe just a little bit. Glory to God. But how do you know God's word is always good? Amen. So if we trust the Holy Spirit tonight, He'll help us, won't He? I don't think they knew I was preaching tonight, but I don't know if it's always planned. It seems like every time I preach, we sing some song about dancing. I don't know. It's a sign, you think, William? Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know if we're gonna dance after tonight's message, but I think we're gonna get some good stuff tonight. All right, go to Ephesians chapter 1 if you will. It's kind of our jumping off place. Ephesians chapter 1. We're just gonna read verse 17. Have a purpose for reading this as we get started. Ephesians 1. Now we know this is we know this as Paul's Ephesians 1 prayer, we kind of call it that. This is, in this prayer, is probably one of the greatest revelations of the authority of the believer. But this prayer applies to every area about knowledge of God. And I want to read it with that in mind tonight. Verse 17, Paul, he says here, he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So tonight we're believing God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, who? Of God and of Jesus and of His Word. Specifically tonight, one of the things that I've been on a quest for a long time concerning, and just thank God for more and more revelation, is how is it that God loves us all the same? How is He no respecter of persons? Because that same love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And if God can love people that way, then we should be loving people that way too. Now, I'm made tonight be preaching just to me. Maybe I'm the only one that has a little trouble with this sometimes. But you know, sometimes it seems like, and in our day and age, we are probably, I don't know, I'm not the Ancient of Days. I know Him, but I'm not Him. But, you know, I've been on this earth over 60 years, and those of us who can say that, we grew up in the 60s and 70s, you know, or around that age, you know. And those of you that are older than me, you were more alert to it than I was. But I think we're more divided as a nation, as a people, as a church, on a whole, as we've ever been. And one of the things that's a sign to me of the devil is shooting his last shot. Because if he can keep us divided, he can defeat us. But he can't defeat us. So that tells me that what Jesus prayed in John 17, that we would be one, is going to come to pass. So I want to know some more about it. One of the things is that tonight I just want to look at some things concerning how God, some statements the Bible says about how God sees things. In order to get to where I'm loving like God loves, I got, first of all, knowing how God loves me, but then also then taking this next step and say, okay, I'm going to change my attitude to where I'm going to start thinking like God thinks here according to what the Word tells me. Now, I'm not God, I understand that, but what does God tell me in His Word about how He treats people and how He views people? Is it different than how we do? And it is absolutely different. Even some statements of that just straight out say it's different. And so now I've got to make a decision that I'm going to love that way also. I'm going to start viewing people the way that my Father views them because I'm His child. Does that make sense to you? And so let's start in Acts chapter 10, if you would please. Acts chapter 10. Now sometimes we're just going to read one verse in a section of scripture that is obviously has much more to say, but we, for time's sake here, this is just kind of to get us thinking. I told the students here in the one class not too long ago, this is kind of how I go through things. I preached a lot of sermons to myself by talking them out this way and just going through the scriptures and then having to come to tonight when we get to coming to okay, here's the challenge. Now here's what we do next. And concerning the love of God, since God is love, I've already made this decision. This is going to be a lifetime's study. As long as I'm on this earth, I'm going to have to keep studying this. All right? Why? Because there's crazy people out there. And you know what's interesting about that? To somebody else, you're the crazy one. Yeah. Somebody you went to high school with had the same teachers you did. You see a post on Facebook, you're like, what in the world? Right? Somebody you went to Rhema with. I didn't name your name. Don't get mad. All right. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. So this is our starting place. We want to know, all right, we know this to start with. Okay, God is no respecter of persons. So going along with my theory here and my thesis for tonight, I am no respecter of persons. If God is no respecter of persons, then I have to make the decision that I will not be a respecter of persons. Now, the Weymouth translation, which is an older translation, says this. Peter began to speak, I clearly see, he said, that God makes no distinctions between one man and another. Now, I understand, you know, God understands if people that believe in him and don't believe in him. And we're talking that. But I'm talking about this is a baseline thing we're talking about here. Makes no distinction, all right, between me and you. Amen. You know, I used to think that some people got a greater measure of faith than I did. No, they've just done more with theirs than what I had done, right? Look at Romans chapter 2. Praise the Lord. So God makes no distinctions. He's not a respecter of persons. Here in Romans 2:11. Now, when we find, how many of you know there's several places the Bible says the just shall live by faith? Woo, we like that. Well, there's several places the Bible says God's no respecter of persons. So anytime something's repeated, it's there for emphasis. Here in Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of persons with God. The New International Version. For God does not show favoritism. Now, some folks, let me stop and say this here. Some folks get mixed up sometimes and think you're showing favoritism. The Bible also says, give honor to whom honor is due. And so there is that aspect of it. And besides that, you should never be offended if someone else is honored. You're supposed to rejoice with them and not gripe and complain. But what about me? See, that already shows me that you've made it about you, not about others. And that gets me in trouble. I'm assuming it gets you in trouble too when you make it about yourself, right? Ephesians 6. Some of these we're just going to go to fairly quickly. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. Now here, as the Apostle Paul, by the mighty Holy Ghost... I mean, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The mighty Holy Ghost inspired. Peter said, holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. How many of you know you got that same Holy Spirit inside of you? He's inside us. He inspired it, so he knows what it means. And the great thing, he knows how to apply it to our lives today. That's why Paul prayed, would give a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Now here in Ephesians chapter 6, as he writes this, he's writing this to, he uses the term servant and masters. We would use the term maybe employee and employers. Look at verse 9 here. He said, you masters, or you employers, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Now here the Amplified, this is the newer Amplified version, so I don't know if I made that clear to him upstairs, but just listen here. You masters do the same, showing goodwill towards them, and give up threatening and abusive words, knowing that he who is both their true master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him, regardless of one's earthly status. So no respecter of persons has something to do with our status here on earth, our lot in life, where we are. Okay? We're going to see as we go along. This has to do with every aspect of our natural self. Every aspect. Now, if you look around the congregation tonight and you look around the world, unless you have an identical twin, there's no one that is exactly like you. And I don't know if identical twins are actually 100% every cell identical, but they're close. Have you got friends or acquaintances, you can't tell them apart, you know, sometimes, especially growing up, when they dress them alike, you're like, who is that? But none of us are alike naturally at all. So when we start thinking that way, you see the folly and the foolishness of being a respecter of persons based on something that you can see outwardly, that is detectable outwardly, that is concerning one's earthly status. Now look at James chapter 2. Now James here, this is the brother of Jesus, not the brother of John. This is James, the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. We see him in Acts chapter 15 at the Council of Jerusalem, stand up after Peter had spoken, Paul and Barnabas, others had spoken. James stands up and renders the decision on what he thinks should be done. And the Bible said everyone agreed. Everybody in the place agreed. That's a miracle, isn't it? All right. But this is James, who grew up in the same household as Jesus, who didn't believe on him until after he was risen. But verse 1, he says, my brethren, chapter 2, verse 1, I'm sorry. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. With respect of persons. Now, I want to read this from the New Living Bible. Now, the reason I say, here's a pastor. So he's dealing with people. You know, pastors are shepherds, are with their sheep every day. They deal with people every day. You know, sometimes some ministers don't have that constant contact with the people they're ministering to. But pastors do, okay? And it's kind of because the pastor's kind of in a role also of a teacher and that type of thing. You know, there's a lot of folks that are looking, that they're running around looking for mentors. If they just go to church every Sunday and hear what the pastor has to say, they'd be mentored. See, I told you, I'm free to see, I'm free to dance. We're not free to dance nothing tonight. Amen. Now, if you think being mentors means that person's going to call you on the phone every day to check on you, that's not what being mentored is. Why me get off on that? Amen. I've been mentored by the Apostle Paul. Never met him. I just read what he had to say. I'm still trying to figure out a lot of what he had to say. Especially you get into Romans chapter 7. I mean, that what I want to do, I don't do. That which I do, well, that's what I do. No. He finally gets down there and says, and I just said do, didn't I? I did it. I said it. I heard it. He finally gets down there and said, who shall deliver me from myself, basically? Thank God Jesus Christ will. Amen. All right, listen to this from the New Living Translation. Now I'm going to read four verses this time, not just the first. My brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor person, you can stand over there or else sit on the floor, well, doesn't this discrimination, I want you to see that word, discrimination, and I'm saying it, I'm giving emphasis to that word. Being a respecter of persons is discrimination. All right? This discrimination shows that your judgments are guided by evil motives. So part of walking in love is I have to have the right motives towards people. And if I'm a respecter of persons, I'm not going to have the right motive because I've put myself into place, if you think about it, I've put myself in a position as the judge. All right? Now, well, my brother, now we're supposed to judge falsely. Yeah, but by the word of God, I understand that. But he's talking about this not by what a person has on, their clothing. I've made a discriminatory decision that I'm going to treat the one better than the other based on what they had on. And making that judgment, you know where it went. That's a rich person. That's a poor person. Sit the poor person in the back. They're not going to help the church anyway. This is the pastor talking here. He's talking to his congregation. Maybe he's talking to his ushers. I don't know. In a lot of churches, ushers tell people where to sit. You go sit over there, you go sit over there. No, he's telling us here. That's based off evil motives, this discrimination. In fact, Thayer's definition of the word, that word respect of persons, it's the respect of persons is actually one, well, come on here, one word. I had that open, but now it closed on me. Okay, here we go. Let me look this up real quick here. James 2:1. Let's look that in the King James. And I like here what Thayer says about this. It says, respect of persons, partiality, the fault of one who, when called on to give judgment, has respect of the outward circumstances of man and not their intrinsic merits, or in other words, that which within them. And so prefers, as the more worthy, one who is rich, high-born, or powerful, to another who does not have these qualities. Now, the other word there, the other time in Acts 10, he goes on and makes this one, a respecter of persons is one who discriminates. God does not discriminate. In every nation, he who does right is accepted with God. How many of you know the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord? That would not be possible if God was a respecter of persons. The Bible says he makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. You know, the oxygen that God prepared and made this planet, created this planet to produce, isn't just for you, Christian. It's for everybody. God's no respecter of persons. He's good to all. Good to all. Good to all. Good to all. Now think about it. Every one of us was his enemy when Jesus went to the cross. We were all his enemy by sin. Our nature was radically opposed to his. Yet Jesus died for all of us. Because God's no respecter of persons. Now we see this in a couple places. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Do you remember what happened here with David, or with the prophet, Samuel going to anoint a new king? Saul had messed up, right? And so he goes down here to Bethlehem, to the household of Jesse. And Jesse brings all of his sons, you know, from the oldest. He brings them in, parades them there in front, you know. And these are good-looking guys. We know they're part of the army of Israel because they were there when David ended up facing Goliath. They went out with King Saul. They're part of the army. These are good-looking guys. Evidently, from what you saw, they'd make great kings. All right? But verse 7, after Samuel says, surely this Eliab is the Lord's. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. Now, I will say this, and this is one of those areas, you know, we're still, this is in the, these are foundational. That is an advantage God has. He's able to look at the heart. But you know this, if you'll spend time with somebody, you'll get to know them. But the reason we don't spend time with people is because we make that initial, I'm not going to spend, you know, that. Now, you can't spend time with everybody. You understand what I'm saying? But so evidently then, we need to, I know this, that if God looks at the heart, not like we do, we look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, then the Holy Spirit's going to lead us and guide us in this area. We need to trust him to listen on the inside. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit speak to you about something on the inside like that? You know, in all kinds of things, business deals, getting involved in investments, getting involved with people in certain things. You know, sometimes people want you to do stuff and they don't like the word no. Do they? They don't. You say no and oh. Well, what's wrong? Just no. You know, and you try to tell. Then you know, if you try to tell them, well, Jesus will let your yes be yes and your no. Oh, now you're preaching to me. Okay. Amen. So we need to trust the Holy Spirit in this area, that he would lead us and guide us so that we can not look at the outward, but look at the inward. The one place it said the intrinsic value of a person, what's inside of them. What's inside of them? Amen. What did Dr. King say? By the content of their character. He's saying, he's speaking, that's a, he's being biblical. He's talking about what the Bible said, to look at people not based on anything else, but the content of their character. Their intrinsic value, their heart. You see. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are on the outward. Right? You could be male or female. That doesn't matter. What's in the heart? Amen? I mean, you could be of any ethnicity. That doesn't matter. It's what's of the heart. That's what God looks at, see. So how do we can do that, and the way we do that is that we learn to be compelled and motivated by the love of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm already to my last scripture. Everybody say hallelujah. But I'm not done talking about it. We're going to read it from four different translations. Oh, Lord. So this is like when a preacher says, I'm fixing to close. You know what that means? Absolutely nothing. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. King James Bible, first of all. 2 Corinthians 5:14. We'll read 14, 15, and 16. Here's the King James Bible. For the love of God constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, they that which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, which means from this point forward, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth, know we him no more. You know, a lot of the people of the day that Jesus, when he was on the earth, rejected him because he was from Nazareth. The only reason, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Right? You know, God specializes in upending your theology and my theology. Just as soon as I think, oh, that's exactly who God works through. God would never, Be careful. Be careful. I learned a long time ago, don't write anybody off. You're going to have to go back to them to get what God's got for you. It's a whole lot easier just to, you know, keep things cool. You don't have to burn bridges. Amen? But he said there that even he said, we used to look at Jesus that way, but we're, from this time forward, because the love of Christ is constraining us, it is directing us, it is compelling us, it is motivating us, we're not going to look at anyone after the flesh. Now we know, we stopped, we didn't read verse 17, because that's what he's talking about. But what does matter? The new creation. If any man is in Christ. Now listen to this from the New Living Translation. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, how many of you believe that Christ died for all? Amen? He says, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. I like that. Now here again, we're teaching ourselves. We're just looking at this. So I've got to, now how many of you know to do something, you're going to have to do something on purpose. This doesn't automatically take place. I've got to catch myself. Every time, I'm going to ask the Lord to help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Every time I evaluate somebody from, what did he say there? From just a human point of view. Stop me. Stop me, Lord. He went on to say in the New Living, at one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Amen. Message Bible. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love, I love this part, what he says, his love has the first and last word in everything we do. Our firm decision is to work from this focus center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people have ever lived on their own. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. You know, Paul warned Timothy about people who suppose that gain, prosperity, equals godliness. Right? You know, just because somebody rolls into a church in a nice new car, and God could care less what kind of car you drive. Get the best one, man. Get one that's not going to break down. Just believe God. If you're not there yet, just keep believing God. Get you a good one. Praise the Lord. But just because someone rolls in a nice new car doesn't make them spiritual. I'll guarantee there's pastors around the world wish they had made that correct judgment on that and not put those guys on their church board just because they look prosperous. I heard the man say, I heard Dr. Price, Fred Price, his son's going to speak at camp meeting this year. I heard him say it. He's out there at Crenshaw Christian Center out in California. Had a lot of celebrities getting saved. I mean, Mickey Rooney. I heard Mickey Rooney on TV in an interview on a secular TV program say, I pay my tithes at Crenshaw Christian Center. Pastor Fred Price. I was like, Mickey Rooney. Glory to God. Amen. But he said this, that at one time in their old, before they built the Faith Dome, they had that service, and they had several services. One of them was a TV service. They always recorded that one for TV. He wouldn't let any of those celebrities into that service unless they had gone to the other services for over a year. He said, because their celebrity doesn't mean spirituality. In fact, you know what? When they got saved just like you did. They're born again. They're a new person in Christ. And they don't know anything about the life of God any more than you did when you were. Right? See, why did he do that? He loved those people enough to not be a respecter of persons towards them. In fact, it wasn't just them. He did that with everybody. You didn't get in that TV service unless you had attended the other services for a year. Smart. Wise. Wisdom. Amen. All right. He said, the Passion Translation. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us, because we are absolutely convinced that he has given his life for all of us. This means all died with him. Now, in all these, notice that Christ's love, the love of Christ constrains us. The Christ's love controls us. Christ's love moves us. Here it says it fuels our passion and motivates us. The love of Christ. All right? So that we who live, verse 15, should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him, the one who died for us and now lives again. So then, from now on, we have a new perspective. And this is our challenge tonight. I'm going to challenge you to take on this perspective. Let's take on this perspective in life. All right? The great thing about this is you can make a decision, just like you can make a decision tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you can leave here a child of God. Born again. But tonight, you can leave here with a brand new perspective. Amen. I mean, let's be honest. People, we're here from all over and all over the world, actually. But all of us were raised differently. Amen. All of us were raised, you know, in ways. I thank God that, you know, I thank God in my life, God gave me some abilities that you can't tell by looking at me now. But God gave me some abilities in athletics that put me around other people. All right? Of all ethnicities that had the same type of skills. So that was a unifying thing. So I got where I didn't care. All I cared about, could you play? Right? Can you help us win? Can I help you win? You help me win? It doesn't matter because we win. I don't win, we win. And so I thank God. Now, when I got saved in the summer of my freshman year in college, I was there. I was a starting point guard on our basketball team and got saved that summer. And then just started seeing, and just kind of thank God for it, because it kind of carried over for me, helped me to not see as much. Now, in that, as far as ethnicity. Now, some other things. You know, I didn't realize it was in me till the last 2 years, or the last actually 6 years, that I had some political prejudice and discrimination in me. Oh, it was in there big. I didn't even know it was there. It got exposed. It's so much I had to turn off TV. I can't even watch the news. I'm still dealing with it. And everybody has a right to their own opinion. But I wasn't allowing people. I was being a respecter of persons. Now, if you say what I agree with, I'll listen to you. But if you say anything that's different, nope. You're an idiot. Come on now, I'm just being honest with you. Come on, be honest with you. Now, all of us were raised, you know. All of us were raised that way. Now, and another reason I love being around now, God brought us here to Rhema, and now we're not just around Americans, we're around the world. How many folks not from America in here right now? Let me see your hands. Look, there's people all over, people around all over. Thank God. What a great opportunity God's given us. Right? Now, you know, we ought to be wanting things to be godly in our country, for wherever we're from, yes. But we understand not all men have faith. And so our work, yes, we are active, but most of our work is done behind the scenes where nobody sees, in the avenue of prayer, and not to curse people, but with the compassion of God, whom Jesus died for all men, to pray for them. To pray for them. Intercede for them, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. Yes, you don't have to be silent. You can be vocal in what you believe, but that doesn't mean I'm going to discriminate against you based on our different views. All right, I'm still reading here. So now, from now on, we have a new perspective that refuses, I'm going to challenge you tonight, refuse to evaluate people merely by their outward appearance. Refuse. Refuse. That means it's up to me. It's my choice. So when I read that, I have to read it this way. Tad, this is your new perspective, or this is now your perspective, whether I want to call it new or not. My perspective is I refuse to evaluate any person merely by their outward appearance. Now that's the basic. That's the basics of how God is no respecter of persons. He never evaluates anyone merely by their outward appearance. Galatians tells us that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, bond or free. He covered it all. Gender, ethnicity, social status. He covered it all. In Christ, we are one. We are one. In 2007, they had an election in Kenya on December 29th. And late in the evening, or early in the morning, actually about 2 in the morning on December 30th, the sitting president, who clearly was way behind in the election, brought the chief justice to the presidential house and had himself sworn in as the next president at 2:30 in the morning. You know, if you won, you don't do it, end up in the middle of the night. Violence broke out across the nation. I'm talking about people who had lived next to each other. They'd raised their children together. Our children went to the same school, but we just happened to be different tribes, but that didn't mean anything. We go to church together. We go to school together. We eat together. We share whatever we have with you. You share whatever you have with us. They turned on each other based on their tribal affiliation over this election, and people took hatchets and pangas and spears and killed their neighbors. 200 women and children women and children were herded into Assembly of God Church in one city, and they burned it down around them. Well, that summer I was there, had a trip planned, summer of 2008. The nation was in shock, I could tell, when I got there. And even the people I'm working with, they're talking about, well, this tribe and that tribe, and I just kept quiet. Because God had told me before I went, didn't always tell me what to do when I go, but he told me this time, when you go, you're going to talk about this situation. And he said, here's what you say. There's only two groups of people on the earth. Those that are in Christ, those who are your brother, and if they're in Christ, they are your brother and sister in the Lord, and you are one in Christ. And then those who aren't, and that's why you're still on the earth, to reach them. Now, God has a way of simplifying things, I understand. Because he looks at it from the baseline. He's not judging anyone based on anything outwardly. Right? And ethnicity is something. Now, we look at it, it was not skin color, it was tribal. It's the same devil. Same devil hates people. But we're to love people. Amen? Let's all stand up. We're out of time. Amen? I challenge you tonight. Take on a new perspective. Refuse to evaluate anybody on outward appearances. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Father, that what we've taught tonight, the Holy Spirit's on the inside of us to help us. And we have the grace of God, your God-given ability to love like you love. Thank you, Father, for shedding the love of God abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your good word. You're always faithful. Thank you, Father, that you didn't look at us after our outward appearance, but you looked at us according to what we needed inside, and you sent Jesus. And he died for us all. And now, Father, may we stand arm in arm with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And may we go as a united force out to a world of people whom you love and whom we love with the compassion of God, controlled by your love and motivated with a passion to see men and women come to know you. And then Jesus, we're sure the Father will send you back and you'll culminate all things. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, the ladies are over here on my right, your left. The men are on my left and your right. Come on down and pray with them. Be here Sunday morning, School of the Bible, 9 o'clock, right? Service at 10. God bless you. You can be dismissed.